To Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, we're going to conclude the message we began last week. A reminder to pray. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we seek God together. Father, once again, we give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise for being with us this morning. We thank you, God, for meeting with us while we worshiped, while we prayed, while we honored you with our giving, while, Lord, we thanked you for little Liliana this morning. And we thank you, God, that you're going to be with us as we look to the Word of God today. We pray your hand to be upon your servant, that you would give me your words as we look to the Scriptures today. And we pray, God, that through the Word you would speak to all of our hearts, that we might grow in wisdom, grace, and truth. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I don't think there is anything that the enemy doesn't want us to do more than not pray. I'm sure there's things that he doesn't want us to do as much as prayer, such as reading our Bible or spending time with other believers, or serving Jesus and witnessing and testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if there's one thing amongst all those other things that the enemy does not want us to do, that is pray. And if there's one thing he will set out to do this week, next week, the following week, and every other week as long as you live, or until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, the enemy will try to stop you from praying, from seeking the face of God, from moving in your life, from moving in your family, and from moving in this church, in this community, and in this world for as much time as we have. Because he knows when God's people pray, God, because he loves us, and God, because he has ordained prayer to be part of the worship and the relationship of a man or woman who knows God. When people pray, God moves. And so the enemy will try to do everything to stop you from praying. In fact, and I'm not saying this because I take notes or the Holy Spirit has whispered to me about different people's prayer life within this church body. If there's something that we're struggling with as a church, it's prayer. Why? Because it's systemic to all churches everywhere. That's why Jesus shared this parable. Men are always to pray and not faint, because he knows that prayer will be a struggle. Because it's easier to sleep in a little later. It's easier to spend time reading the morning newspaper. Or, well, I don't know how many people do that. Surf the internet or do whatever you do in the morning. It's easier to spend time doing this activity or that activity than getting alone with God but praying. But prayer is so necessary and essential. Are you satisfied with who you are in Jesus? If you're not, and let me tell you, you shouldn't be, not because you're a bad person, and I'm not disappointed with you at all. But as far as you have progressed in Jesus, there is so much more for you. And if you're not satisfied, you need to be a person of prayer. In fact, one point that I have this morning, I'm not sure if I'll get to it. I've talked about it before. But when we pray, especially when we pray in the Spirit or in an unknown tongue, the Bible says we build up ourselves spiritually, the spiritual man or woman that is within us. You want to be more than who you are in Christ. Be a person of prayer, because prayer does change things. That Jesus said prayer was so powerful that if we say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, it shall be done. Nothing is too difficult for God. In fact, whatever we pray, the Bible says, in many different scriptures, God will answer that prayer. You happy with what's going on in your family? If not, pray if you haven't been. Are you happy with what's going on around us? Do you like what's going on in Washington or Hartford or downtown Norwich or whatever town you live in? Well, then pray about it. Are you happy with how the church is, either this local church or the church in general, with where it's going, with what it's preaching, with what it's doing? If you don't, pray. And the Bible says God will move. That the book of Acts, bless God, when they prayed for 10 days, the Holy Spirit moved in a powerful way and transformed not just the 120 in the upper room, but the entire world. Why are we here today? Why is the church still going on strong? Because over 2,000 years ago, the apostles spent 10 days in a prayer meeting. And we're still reaping the benefits of that prayer meeting today. Last week, in talking about prayer, we talked about some of the reasons why we stop praying. Of course, one reason is because we get tired. Either we get physically, emotionally, mentally tired because we just have a lot going on in our lives. And I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many have a lot going on in your life? You know, I used to live in the Midwest. This is one of the busiest places in the world, or at least in the country. Other places are a little more laid back, but even when we don't have anything to go do or anything to do, we're still busy and we're in a hurry. In fact, those of you from different cultures, is this a little more fast-paced than other areas? We start right at 10:15. I know when we were down in Nicaragua, church started whenever. Whenever everyone got there, then we started church. Sometimes it feels like we do that here too. Or we get tired because we have been disappointed. How many know that at times living for Jesus, the walk before the Lord Jesus Christ, is a walk of tears? It is. I'm sorry to say that this morning, but I'd be lying to you if it was not true. Yes, there's joy. Yes, there's singing. Yes, there's victory. But because we live in an imperfect world, a world marred by sin, a world whom Jesus Christ himself said, whose prince is the enemy, is Satan, who's called the prince and power of the air, we are going to face sorrows as we live for God. Jesus saying, take up your cross, an instrument of suffering, and follow me. And because we're human, we're flesh. During those times of disappointment, when bad stuff just happens, or we're persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ, or we make a mistake. Tears will flow down our face, and our heart will grow weary, and we'll find it difficult to pray. And then, of course, I thank God for the United States of America. What a great country we live in. And I'm not trying to speak down to any other nation. All of us came from other nations, obviously, at one point or another, as far as our ancestry. But America, one of the best things about it is also one of the worst things about it. And there is so much to tempt us and to pull us away from Jesus. Some things obviously are bad. Freedom, of course, is a double-edged sword. In America, we're free to worship, but we're also free to sin. And in addition to that, America, we live in such a sensual society. And I think one of the gods, and I'm not speaking solely of sex, although sex is an issue. I mean, America is a palace and an opportunity for a man or a woman to indulge in any whim or any pleasure that they would like, to the point where that can become a god. Now, I'm not saying you can't go on vacation or a trip or you can have all those things, as long as they don't have you. And what I mean by that, as long as they're not God in your life, you live for those things, and those things take precedent in your life. But all those distractions can pull us away from seeking God in prayer as we should. In fact, let me tell you, I'm going to talk about this in a little bit as we progress through the message, but if in your prayer life, and this may be a reason why some people are suffering in their prayer life, but if in your prayer life you're seeking the things of this world instead of the things of God, you're going to have a very frustrated prayer life. Because God doesn't care about those things. God cares about you and who you are in Christ Jesus. Last week, as far as being people who continue to pray, we talked about how important it is to pray under the blood. And what I mean by that, it's important for us, if we want to be sure that our prayers are heard and are answered, that our prayers are marked by two things as it relates to the precious blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary for our sins. Number one, we need to know Jesus personally. You can come to church, you can give an offering, you can teach a Sunday school class, you can lift up your hands and say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah," and sing all the songs. But unless you have repented of your sin and invited Jesus Christ into your life, you do not personally know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the road, that is the path to God. Jesus describes it as a narrow path. And I'm not saying God does, you know, some people says if you don't know Jesus, God doesn't hear your prayer. God hears everything. But to have an assurance that God will not only hear, but answer prayer, you need to know Jesus. And I hope everyone here personally knows Jesus, has personally invited Jesus Christ in. We talked about James chapter 5, verse 16. Where the Bible says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We need not only to understand that to come to Christ, we need to admit that we're a sinner and pledge to turn from our sins. We need to live in, which is called repentance. We need to live in that repentance. Doesn't mean we're perfect and we won't make mistakes, but it means that every day we strive through the power of the Holy Spirit to live for God with all of our heart. So that when we come before God, we have a clean conscience and have no fear or no doubt that God will not hear and answer our prayer. Now, to continue on that thought this morning, in addition to praying under the blood, we need to pray specifically. Now, as many of you know, I grew up in church, and one of the things I've heard all my life is when you pray, you need to pray specifically. Anyone hear that, or was it only me? You need, when you pray, but I noticed if I typed pray specifically, and, you know, we don't use concordances anymore, we use Google. There's some great online resources. Books are wonderful, too, don't get me wrong, and I still use those. But the phrase pray specifically isn't in the word, but the idea certainly is. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Let me tell you what an important aspect of faith is as far as living for the Lord Jesus Christ. An important aspect of faith is when you face a need, the first thing that you do with that need is not run to the bank account to find out how to see if you've got enough money to buy your way out of that need, or to run to your parents or your brother or your sister or some other good friend to see if you can get some advice out of that need, or to run out to the government to see if someone can write legislation to legalize you out of your need, for lack of a better term. If you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing you will do when you have a need that's facing you or someone close to you in your life is that you'll bring that specific request to God. That's what the scripture is saying. Sometimes we don't do that. I don't know why we don't do that. Sometimes I think we pray, and when we pray, we just have a certain prayer that we go through every day, and we're kind of bound by that thing, and so nothing else gets in there. Sometimes because our time is so caught up with other things, we don't take special time to kind of shut the door on the rest of the world and say, "I'm going to spend some time with Jesus and earnestly seek God and God's face for God to move in my life." But if you want God to move in whatever thing is burdening your heart, you need to be a person who prays specifically regarding that. We have many examples of this in Scripture. 1 Kings chapter 3 in the Old Testament. And what this was a time in the life of Solomon early on. And who Solomon was, he was the third king of the nation of Israel. And when he was a young man, the Bible says, God appeared to him in a dream, and he asked him a very interesting question. 1 Kings 3:5 says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.'" Can you imagine that? I would love to have a dream like that. I don't know if I would, And Solomon, being, at least at that time in his life, the godly man that he was, responded wisely and asked God for wisdom to rule his people. When God asked Solomon, it wasn't just an empty question. He asked him, and whatever Solomon asked him to do, God himself said he would do. If Solomon said, like maybe I would have had I been in Solomon's shoes, "God, make me rich." Or if Solomon said, "God, make me powerful." Or Solomon said, "God, make me famous." God said he would do exactly that in the life of Solomon. Of course, Solomon was very, even at that young age, was very wise, and he asked for God to give him wisdom, and it pleased God. And the Bible says, First Kings 3:9-10, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. And the thing that I'd like to pull out as it relates to this message concerning this is that Solomon got direct or specific with the Lord, and the Lord answered. In Mark's Gospel, in the life of Jesus, chapter 10, it was a blind man who came up to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know if a person is blind or not. If someone's blind, you know. And Jesus, of course, knew everything, so he obviously didn't need to know. He knew what was wrong with this man. But the Bible says when this man came up to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, "Oh, you're blind, I'm going to give you sight." He says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 51 and 52, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Once again, now how could have the man responded when asked this question? He could have said, "What do you think I came here for? I'm here because I'm blind." But instead he responded, "God, I want to see." And when he spoke specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ what he wanted, God answered in the name of Jesus. So there's precedent in Scripture for you and I when we come to God and we seek God to move in our lives, that we be specific about the various needs that we have. And the old and Scripture is full with great questions that God has for man. Elijah, after Mount Carmel, the Lord said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" In John chapter, which was a prelude to Elijah pouring out his heart before God. In John chapter 5, Jesus talking to a paralytic. "Will you be made well, or wilt thou be made whole?" God, for whatever reason, I can't say I know specifically the reason why, but God wants us to be specific when we come to him in prayer regarding the things that we're facing. Now, in being specific, and I think, rather, let me just take a step back. I think that's a reason why in many of our lives, our prayer lives are not as satisfying as we'd like them to be. Reading James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." I think there's two reasons, in addition to, you know, sin in our lives, which we spoke about last week, but there are two reasons why, according to this portion of Scripture, why our prayer lives are frustrating. Number one, in verse 3, the Bible says, or verse 2, excuse me, "You do not have because you do not ask God." For whatever reason, we refuse to get specific with God with our prayers. And let me tell you one reason why. It's because a lot of us, our prayer lives aren't what they should be. We're not spending the time with Jesus. And secondly, not only do we not ask, we don't ask correctly. Now, I just said a few moments ago, it's important when we come to God that we pray specifically. But in doing so, that does not give us license to tell God how to answer the prayer. Amen? There are some things, obviously, when there is a need, we should pray about it. And certainly there are some obvious things that we can pray about that we need no great revelation from Scripture as far as what needs to be done. If someone doesn't know Jesus, we need to pray that they would receive Christ as their Savior, that they'd get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. If someone is sick, we should pray that they be made whole. If someone is struggling, we should pray that they would be set free. But a lot of times when we pray, we not only ask God to move in a certain prayer area or pray or tell God or bring a specific request to God. We also pray and ask God this, and I want you to do this, and this is the way that I want you to do it. Now, having said that, one thing that we need to understand as far as seeking God's face, there are things that obviously we know to pray for. But if we truly want to pray the will of God, we need to know the mind of the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says, "He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So one way in praying for these different needs that we have, that we can pray with faith, knowing that God will answer, is when we just not pray what we want to happen. We first, in bringing this request to God, seek the leading of God's Holy Spirit as far as how we are to pray. God wants us to know that His Holy Spirit is someone, not something, but someone who wants to be personal in our lives. In fact, one of the major ministries of the Holy Spirit is to teach people, and specifically teach people about the things of God. And one of the things that He wants to teach you and me as we live for the Lord Jesus Christ is how to pray. And not just how to pray as far as the steps, you know, we need to praise and we need to pray for others and we need to take our requests to God, but how to uniquely pray for those situations that we're facing in our life. God, I'm having a problem, for instance, I'm having a problem with my job. And so, God, I need your deliverance. You might want the problem, say it's a conflict with another person, for that person to go away. I don't know if you've ever been there. But God might want to change you. God might want to use you to change them. There are so many other ways that God may possibly want to move for His glory in that situation. And we don't know until we first pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give us supernatural insight, for lack of a better term, as far as how we should pray concerning that situation. So we need to ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we need to have spiritual endurance regarding the situations that we face. Going back to our text, the first verse of Luke chapter 18, He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Another reason that we don't continue to pray or pray specifically, and maybe we do on the short term, but we don't seem to get the results that we want, is because we give up too easy. And that often happens because we expect when we pray for God to answer instantaneously. God says He'll answer our prayers, but never said exactly when He would answer prayers. In fact, when I look, especially in the Old Testament and in the New, it seems like the answer was always always a long time coming. I mentioned the book of Acts, chapters 1 and 2, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit didn't come when the disciples got in the upper room, held hands and said, "God, please fill us in the Holy Spirit," and bang, it happened. 10 days. Now, what do you and I expect as far as God to move in our lives? What is our timetable when we come before the Lord? I don't know about you, but in my flesh, it's yesterday. I want to be healed now. I want to see this person saved now. I need $1,000 now. And so on and so forth. We go down the list. And then when our expectations aren't met, we get discouraged and then we give up. What Jesus is saying in our text this morning is that prayers that are answered are prayers that endure. I know some of you have been praying for 10 days or 5 days and nothing's happened. Keep on praying. Let me give you some other examples that are even worse than 10 days. In the Old Testament, the example of Joseph. Joseph was a godly man, a spiritual man. At a young age, he must have spent time with the Lord because God was giving him great revelations regarding his people, the nation that would proceed from his family, the nation of Israel. And as a reward for that, he was sold as a slave and then cast into prison. 17 years old. And for 17 years old, I'm sure, now the Bible doesn't record specifically what he did during those years, other than we know he remained faithful to God. I'm sure he just didn't sit there waiting for something to happen. I'm sure because he's a human being just like you and me. In fact, I know he was a man of prayer because even in the midst of the prison, God used him to reveal great dreams and visions and revelation to other people. You can read about it in the book of Genesis. It's just an awesome story if you're not familiar with it. The story about the baker and the butler and then, of course, the famine that came upon the world. He just didn't sit there. He prayed. And later, he did get out of prison and was elevated. And the revelations that he had regarding that he had as a young man, a young teenager, came to pass. And it didn't happen over 10 days. It didn't even happen over 10 months or even 10 years. It took 13 years before he finally got the answer to the obvious prayer, God, please get me out of here. The Israelites who were in bondage in Egypt were in bondage for 400 years until God finally heard their cry, or at least finally moved upon their cry in the fullness of time. You know, God had a purpose in everything. And why do I share those things? To encourage you to keep praying, because you will see God answer if you do not faint. Thirdly, as far as praying specifically, not only do we need to pray through to know the mind and the heart of God, we need to expect the unexpected. Every one of us, I'm sure, in our minds, and I'll share with you a personal example of my situation with the cancer. At the beginning, over 2 years ago when I was diagnosed, I prayed, and I really had a peace that everything was going to work out well. And I felt God touch me at the end of a service, and I still believe he touched me then. And I had an idea that at the beginning, that in about 3 or 4 months, it was all going to be over, and I'd be back to normal. And bless God, I am doing just wonderfully today. And I'm not on chemotherapy, as most, if not all of you know. I take a cancer drug every other week, and we're waiting on God on that. But you know, just doing fantastic. And I thank God for where I am today, and I thank God for what I can do. But at the beginning, the way things unfolded in this walk that I had was not really what I expected. In fact, I expected after 3 months they were going to do a scan and find nothing and say, clean bill of health, you're all set. We often quote that scripture from Ephesians 3:20. In fact, I think I quoted it earlier today. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We think when we share that, or, you know, for King James crowd in the bunch, you know, God who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask or think, we think it's always better. But another way to look at that scripture is God moves differently than we expect. Did not the nation of Israel cry out to God for a deliverer, for the Messiah? And did not God send the Messiah? He did. But did he come in a way that was expected? Not at all. A child born of an unwed mother? In a stable of all places? Grew up in Nazareth? Walking around with nothing. He had no great looks. He wasn't like Saul in the Old Testament. It was nothing seemingly special other than when he taught, he taught with authority. And of course, you know, God did great many miracles. But he did nothing for us politically. He did nothing for us militarily. But he moved in the exact way that he not only desired to move, he needed to move. For the perfect will of God to be done, that being the cross and the redemption of mankind. We need to understand that as well in our lives as we pray specifically before God. God, I want you to move, but I understand you might move in my life in a way that I don't expect. Number one, and I made reference to this earlier, when we pray, and you want to really bless God with your prayer life, pray like Solomon. Pray for the things that really matter. Money, fame, and what's the last one? I don't know. That's two of them anyways. You know, it's all fine and good, but as Scripture says, or is commonly said, you can't take it with you. And really, money and fame doesn't make you a beautiful person at all. In fact, we see a lot of people who've been corrupted in their lives have been ruined by these things. Pray for those things that last, for real jewels in your life, for you to become that beautiful, godly person that God wants you to be, that person of patience, of faith, of hope. Praying for people to accept Christ, to be set free from things, and on all those wonderful things. But when we pray for those things, we need to understand that the way God will answer that may not be a way that we expect Him to. For instance, patience. How many need more patience? You don't have to raise your hands this morning. I know you can't wait. Or I'm right there with you, sister. And we just expect God just to open up the top of our heads and just pour some patience in. But according to Scripture, that's not how it comes. It comes through going through trial. But even more so, praying not only for ourselves, we need to understand this when we pray for other people, especially the people that we love in our lives. There are people that we love, family or friends, because some friends are like family. And they go through very difficult times, and we pray for God, and we should, for God to do a miracle in their lives. Either save them or deliver them from this or that or whatever needs to be done. But we need to understand that when God moves in their life, when God answers your prayer, He may move in a way that you're uncomfortable with. And I'd like to ask our musicians to come. I'd like to close on this thought this morning. And as they come, the example I'd like to share with you is the example of Abraham. Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. And the special thing about this son was he was a son of promise. God promised Abraham that he'd become a great nation. And the line, he had a number of children, but the line that nation was going to come out from was a line that would come from his marriage to his wife Sarah, specifically through the child Isaac. And at the ripe old age of, I believe Abraham was 99, Isaac was born, and everyone was happy. God finally answered. And then sometime along the way, God spoke to Abraham. And he said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, I believe, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to bring him up and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah, I believe, and offer him as a burnt offering to me. And you know what Abraham did? And trust me, God's not going to ask you to do this. But Abraham did exactly that, almost. He took his son, he brought him up to the mountain to sacrifice. He put the wood together. He tied his son up so that his son couldn't escape. Imagine, this is Abraham, this is his own flesh and blood. And this was a unique son. This was his child of promise. He tied him up. Bound him so that he couldn't move. And then he got a knife. And he took that knife and he was about ready, as he was getting ready, to plunge the knife into the heart of Isaac. God said, wait. The angel of the Lord said, wait. And Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And he got Isaac down and he put the ram on. He sacrificed the ram before God. And God said to Abraham, now I know that you'll obey me in every way. There's nothing you will not do. And there's a lot to this story. But the one thing as it relates to praying for specifically for people, because I know one of the things that if you know Jesus, you truly have experienced the love of Jesus Christ, one of the things that you'll want to do and you need to do in your life is to pray for other people. Because as I mentioned last week, there are times where people can't pray for themselves. And one of the things that God spoke to me regarding this story is that Abraham, in doing this, in being willing to take that knife and plunge it into the heart of his son, was willing to completely trust God with his own child. He knew that this was the child of promise. And he actually knew. His faith was so strong. God said, Isaac's the son. And this was probably done in an age where, before, it was definitely before he got married. I think he might have been 13, I'm not sure. But regardless. But the Bible says, Abraham, his faith was so strong, and his belief in the word of God was so strong that even though he was going to be the instrument of taking his son's life, he knew that God was going to raise him from the dead. That's how strong his faith was. That he believed God, that no matter what happened to Isaac, that promise would come true. He was willing to put Isaac completely in the hands of the Lord. And you and I need to do the same thing in our prayer life. Because when we pray for people and we pray for God to move, God, not always, but there are some times he might have to take that person through some bad times or some tough times or some difficult times. Because they're bad people. We're all bad. Maybe that's the way they need to grow. Maybe that's the way they need to learn. Whatever it might be. And I've been in that place and praying for someone. God, I want you to move, but don't let that happen to them. That's not a prayer that God honors. Prayer that God honors says, God, I'm praying your will for their life. for them to know Jesus and to grow in God. And God, I am willing to let you do whatever you need to do in order to see that happen. Because if you don't, when bad things or when those unpleasant things start happening in that person's life, you might stop praying. You might even get angry with God. And your own faith might be in jeopardy. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God with every need. Sometimes the advice of God, when we pray, sometimes the unexpected answer is a rebuke to ourselves. That is more I wanted to talk about this morning, but in the interest of finances. You know, God, I need more money. God might be saying, okay. Then you need to give up this in your life or that in your life. Wait a minute, that's not what I was looking for. Don't sell God short. Be open to whatever wisdom and counsel. Because when we do, we'll be the better for it.